And so I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation from Luke 14, beginning at verse 25 in just a moment. Today's message idea or topic or title is, there is a cost to follow Jesus. You aware of that? There is a cost. I'm not talking financially, although it may be a financial cost too. He may call you, He may call us from a job in management someplace to the ministry. He may call you. It may be tangible, it may be financial, but there is a cost to following Jesus. Now hear me on this, because if you get nothing else, don't go away from here and saying, well, I can't pay the cost, I can't count the cost, I can't bear the cost, because there is great victory in Jesus. There is great rewards in Jesus. There is an eternity that awaits us when we follow Jesus. And so even though there may be a cost to follow, there are rewards that are eternal. Hallelujah. And so, you know, last week we were talking about the condition of the heart a little bit, weren't we? We were talking about the Pharisee called Simon in Luke 7, and we were talking about the prostitute and the condition of their heart. And Jesus said to the woman, not the Pharisee, but to the woman who cried and washed his dirty feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair, your sins are forgiven, for your faith has made you well. And so we're talking about this idea of the condition of our hearts. And so I want to continue with that thought for a little bit. And believe it or not, this does go along with spiritual giftedness a little. Again, from the book that I was reading, Not a Fan, there were two quotes that I come away from that book that spoke to me, perhaps as much or more than anything else. The first one is this: there is no way to follow Jesus without Him interfering with your life. Okay, you still with me? There's no way. If we are going to be radically transformed for Jesus and become His follower, there's no way He's not going to interfere with your life. And the other thing that I took away from there that I want to speak to just a little bit this morning is, following Jesus will cost you something. Following Jesus will cost you something. But I fear, and I think this is why God has put this on my heart for today. I fear today, friends, that the trouble today is, we want to say we're a follower, but we don't want the cost. We don't want any cost associated. We want all benefit. We want all ease. And so I want us to be reminded today that there's no way to follow the Master without Him interfering with your life. And if He hasn't interfered with your life, you've got to reassess, am I really following the Master? You might be thinking, Jim, what do you mean there's a cost or interfering with your life? I would just invite you to consider for a moment any one of the original apostles, or Paul, or Stephen, or any one of those early first church followers, and ask the question, did Jesus interfere with their life? I think the answer is yes. Ask the question, was there a cost? For Stephen, for example, you all know Stephen in Acts, right? Was there a cost for these people to follow Jesus? And the answer is yes. There was a cost. A lot of them paid with their life. And you might be thinking, well, Jim, that's all well and good, but those guys, that's kind of radical examples. Friends, let me challenge you with this thought. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's a radical thing. Okay? If you're going to follow Jesus, it's a step away from the world. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's in a different path than the world. Remember what Jesus said, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few are going that way. And broad and wide is the road and the gate that leads to destruction, and many are going that way. Friends, I can assure you, if you are going to seriously, committedly, surrenderedly follow Jesus, there will be a cost. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some dollars. It may be you've got to take a stance against sin. There will be a cost to follow Jesus. But again, I will assure you, friends, when you do, you will not be sorry. When you follow the master, do you suppose Peter ever said, you know what, I'm thinking I'm bailing out of here. This following this guy, it ain't worth it. They were never in that position. They followed him. They followed the master unto death. Every one but John the apostle followed him to death of the early church. And hundreds and thousands more to the Roman government over the next 200-300 years. We haven't got to Luke 14 yet, have we? There's a whole lot of folks we could look at. Paul. And we could ask the question, do you suppose Jesus interfered with Paul's life? That road to Damascus experience was just a little interference, wasn't it? Do you suppose there was a cost for Paul to follow Jesus? Let's take a look quick at Luke 14 before our time is completely gone. I got a couple of sections of scripture in Luke I want to share with you. Luke 14, 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciples. You hear what he says now, friends? That's what he's challenging us today. Yes, he was speaking to the people of Palestine, of Israel at that day. But he's saying the same thing to us today. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. I know there's a lot of different translations here, and there's plenty of dialogue about that phrase. But by comparison, he said, you must be willing to set the rest of it aside, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brother and sisters, and even your own life. And that's exactly what the apostles and disciples of the early church did. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Do you see? Do you hear the words, friends, of Jesus that tell us over and over in the gospel? If you are not willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple, he said. He told us that over and over and over. And he's simply saying, Jim, get yourself out of first place, take up your cross and come follow me. That's what he's challenging the church with today. There might be a cost to that, but it's worth it. Verse 28. Don't even begin. He's talking about following. Don't even begin until you count the cost. And then he gives us two examples. I'm not going to read through because time is a fleeting. But he talks about who wouldn't... If you're going to build a building, who wouldn't figure out the cost first? Because if you got halfway through it, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you because you didn't know what you're doing. And then he goes to this analogy of the king. Who would go to war if he had 10,000 going against 20,000 without assessing the costs? And he gets down to verse 33 and he says, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. And he is simply stating, friends, it starts with giving up self. We want it our way. We want our cake and to eat it too. We want to say, I am a Christian, but we don't want to follow. We want to say, yes, I know about God, but we don't want to obey. And so he's telling us, friends, we cannot be his follower. We cannot be his disciple without being willing to put everything else in second place or somewhere behind him. Salt, he says in the closing of these verses, is good for seasoning. But if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now you know good and well that if you read Voice of the Martyrs magazine or you hear some Christian broadcast, you know that people are paying with their lives to follow Jesus all over the globe. You know that. Nearly 200,000 people per year die for the cause of Jesus around the world. A lot more than that are imprisoned, raped, abused, whacked with machetes, all manner of things because they have decided to follow Jesus. They recognize there's a cost. Pastor Salek will tell us over and over when his people of Pakistan convert to Christianity, there is a cost, but they're willing to pay the price. Why? Because Jesus is real. Because He died for our sin. Because heaven awaits. And so you know as well as I do, all over the globe, there is a great price being paid. And I just want us to be reminded today, even though we may not be paying that price with our lives, when God calls us to be followers, He wants us to be serious about following. He wants us to be as serious about following as He is serious about saving. He's not willing that any should perish. And He wants us to make a commitment to Him with a prayer, yes. But it's more than that. He wants us to be followers, passionate followers of Jesus. And some of that cost that I'm speaking about today might be lifestyle changes. Remember what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery in John 8 and 4. The words first, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Or the words that Paul said to the church in Ephesians, let him who stole steal no more. We might think that is a cost. We gotta subside those kind of things. And so whatever it is, there may be a cost to follow Him. But when He challenges us to follow Him, friends, it is for our best interest in His mind. When this lady that Jesus referred to in John 8 and 4 was thrown down at His feet, and they said to Him, Moses said to stoner, their hands were raised with the rocks in them, what do you say? And you know the story, but the long and the short of it is, He said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Stop what you're doing. If you're going to follow Me, you've got to make some changes. And that's what He challenges us with today. When we get ready to follow Jesus, His Spirit is going to take up residence in us, and He's going to challenge us to be different than we were yesterday. Do you think that Jesus just told the woman, because He had some arbitrary set of rules, stop doing what you're doing? No, He had her best interest in mind. Her physical best interest, her emotional best interest, her eternal state. He had her best interests in mind. We could go on and on with all kinds of illustrations, but time will not allow it. Let me move to Luke 9. Luke 9, 57 to 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I would think that would be great words to hear. But you see, Jesus knew their heart. Remember the Pharisee, Simon, and the woman last week? Jesus knew their heart. And this person shows up on the scene and he said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied to him, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay His head. In other words, He was saying to this would-be follower, count the cost and get serious. Because it may not be as easy as you think. And he goes on. Jesus said in verse 59, He said to another person, come, follow Me. That's His beckoning to each one of us, friends. That's His beckoning to all of us. And believe it or not, everybody that's not in church too. That's His beckoning to humanity. Come, follow Me. The man agreed. I will. But he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. You see, he was talking about following him may have, maybe, an interference with your agenda. That's what he's talking about. He said, I'll follow you, Lord, but I got this to do and I got that to consider, and well, I'm kind of busy at home too. And Jesus said, let that take care of itself. If you're going to follow me, then follow me. Another one said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He said, Lord, I'm going to be your follower. And then he turned around and went the other way. He said, I got some other things I got to take care of. My life's kind of busy right now, and I just got to take care of these other things first. And Jesus said to him, anyone who starts down the course, puts their hand to the plow, and turns back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. There might be a cost, brothers and sisters. Jesus, when you get passionate about following him, might interfere with your agenda. Anybody have their agenda interfered with? He might interfere with your agenda. I believe that God has called people in this congregation, and so does Pastor Les, we pray about it every Saturday night. I believe that God is calling people here to the ministry of some kind. That might interfere with our agenda. It interfered with mine 10 years ago. My agenda was not to be a pastor. But when the Master calls and you say, yes, here I am, send me, then you better be willing to follow. It might have a cost to follow Jesus, because if I look like and live like and act like and talk just like the world, am I really following? Jesus said to come apart. Paul said, you're a new creation. The old things are gone. It may cost us some TV time. Ouch, someone says, I didn't like to hear that. It may cost us some computer time. It may cost us an evening in our easy chair to go visit the neighbor that's hurting and has never been in church. You don't have to be a pastor. And I love the way the bishop said this just yesterday. It isn't the pastor's role to do everything. And I'm not complaining about doing that. I'm just saying, think of what 200 people can do for Jesus when they come alive and follow him. That's what I'm saying. 200 of us gather here every Sunday morning. Think of if we will count the cost and allow Jesus to interfere with us. Think about what God will do to his glory. This ain't about Jim. It ain't about the sign out there. It ain't about the Free Methodist Church. It's about the glory of God. It's about pointing people that don't know him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And friends, if we never get up and go visit our neighbors, it ain't going to happen with our neighbors. It's got to start with us counting the cost, letting Jesus interfere with us, and getting about his business. Because if the church doesn't do it, it ain't going to get done. If the body of believers that says, I am a follower of Christ, do not follow Christ into the trenches, it isn't going to get done. You say, Jim, God's sovereign. He can do that. He uses people to do his work. That's what he has done from Genesis to Revelation. Maybe I should close with this. There's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. Am I really a follower? Or am I a fan in the stands watching life go by? I believe in God. We can claim that. I know about Jesus. Friends, he wants followers. He wants disciples. He wants people that are passionate about him. I'm so thankful to see a couple of hundred people here every Sunday morning. I am so blessed by that. But friends, following Jesus doesn't start and stop on Sunday morning for an hour. When we follow Jesus,
It's Monday through Saturday. I love what the bishop said yesterday, and I'll probably refer to it time and time again. If there are people in your life, co-workers, neighbors, family, whatever they are, that don't know Him, guess what? They're there for a reason. For you to tell them about Jesus. For you just to come alongside and love them. For you to give them some of your time instead of us being self-centered and everything revolves around me and us and doing everything for me. We got to start looking at people as Jesus did. There may be a cost to following Him. But as I said earlier on, I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth it. I believe the reward is eternal.